Track 8, and now it's Letters to the Editor. And there are three this week. On Your Bike, writes Andrew Logan via email. May I respectfully suggest that an additional visitor attraction could have been introduced to the cycle races in Dawlish. Given the extreme shortage of water due to the lack of rain, an additional cross-country BMX element be introduced, making use of all the exposed sandbanks that are now such a feature of Dawlish water.
Dillis Morgan via email writes Circus Tricks and Politics. Nigel Farage wants us to believe that his decision to stand in the 2024 general election, having first ruled it out on May the 23rd, before reversing course on the 3rd of June, had nothing to do with the £5 million he received around the same time from crypto billionaire Christopher Harbourne. On the BBC, he dismissed it as simply a gift from a friend, not a donation. That misses the point. Whether Harbourne is a friend is irrelevant. He is Reform's biggest political donor with substantial financial interests that could be affected by government policy. The real issues are conflict of interest, transparency and disclosure. Is it really credible that a £5 million personal gift played no part in Farage's decision? We are also asked to believe it is pure coincidence that Harbourne has donated more than £20 million to Reform UK, while Farage now campaigns to relax cryptocurrency regulation, changes that could see significant financial benefits for Harbourne. And of course, Farage claims the establishment is out to get him. In reality, a multi-millionaire party leader bankrolled by billionaire donors is very much the establishment. What's actually happening is right and proper scrutiny of very dodgy establishment dealings. So now Farage has resigned and said he will stand in the by-election. Let the voters of Clacton decide, he said. The other parties won't stand because Farage is obviously trying to avoid the scrutiny of the Standards Committee. It's a circus. At the centre is a dodgy, wealthy politician trying to avoid consequences and deceive voters.
James Vell writes via email, a moment of truth, but whose? Like many in this part of the world, I am a very lapsed Christian. However, with such division in our society, I see the church generally as an organisation that could and should help to unite people, which is why I am so distressed to hear last week that the Church of England is debating a deeply divisive document, a moment of truth, faith in a time of genocide. Had it focused on actual genocide, such as that faced by African Christians, it would have some value. Instead, it promotes the fiction that Palestinians, whose population is growing exponentially, are facing genocide at the hands of Israel, the only country in the Middle East where the Christian community is growing. The document employs highly inflammatory language, falsely accusing the State of Israel of not only genocide, but also apartheid and arrogant Jewish supremacy. Chief Rabbi Sir Ephraim Mervis has rightly pointed out that this is likely to undermine decades of relationship building work between the UK's Christian and Jewish communities. Most troubling is its demand that churches boycott dialogue with Zionist voices. For clarification, Zionist refers to anyone who supports the Jewish people's right to self-determination in their indigenous homeland. It represents the vast majority of Jews in the UK, making support for the document being effectively an exhortation for Jewish people to be ostracised. As every local authority area in England contains at least some Jewish people, there is no community in the country where this is not a threat to community relations.